Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Crossroads. Why don't we give God a hand for that worship music that we just had? Last week, in our Fishes of Men Sunday school class for our 8 to 10-year-olds, Jen had asked the children, because they were learning about the gifts of the wise men, and we know that that takes place months after the birth of Christ, but teaching the kids about it, a question was posed to the children. Other than, obviously, a box gift that you would give to Jesus, what would you want to give to Jesus in 2013? And they had written out their answers, and what I wanted to do in the 11 o'clock service was I wanted to call these kids up because their answers, we could learn a lot from children. In fact, it was Jesus who made it clear that let the children come to him, and out of the mouths of babes, you know, wisdom flow. And so why don't we give the kids a hand as they come up. I'm going to have a couple of them come and share. Okay, this is Zachary. Come over here so everybody can see you, buddy. All right. Zachary, you want to tell everybody, what do you want to give Jesus in 2013?
My heart.
Your heart. Very good, buddy. Excellent, excellent. Okay. You want to tell everybody what you want to give in 2013 to Jesus?
My worship.
Your worship. Wow. Now, my heart, my worship. These kids are not coached. They're being taught these things by their Sunday school teachers, okay? What does that mean? What does that mean, worship, when you say that?
Singing and praying.
Singing and praying. Very good, sweetie. Very good. Okay. Marcella, what do you have here? What do you want to give Jesus in 2013?
My sins.
My sins. Very good. Very good. Excellent, dear. Excellent.
And I was doing this for Janessa, but I agree.
Okay. She's a stand-in, an understudy for Janessa who's sick, but she says she agrees. Okay? All right. I think we all agree. We all agree with that. Okay? All right. What do you have? What do you want to give to Jesus in 2013?
My praise, because the Lord is my Savior.
Amen. Amen. Nice haircut there. I like that. I like that. All right, Quentin, what do you want to give to Jesus in 2013?
My money, my time, and my talents all to the church.
Wow, very good, very good. Now, how do you plan to do that?
By coming to church every week and also by doing the little things that help the church.
Excellent, excellent. I'm about to film a commercial. Excellent. Good job. What else? You want to show your picture there? Okay. That's okay. Good job. Excellent. Okay. Here's some other answers from kids that are not here. Some of the kids from the... somebody said that they wanted to... they want to give Jesus care of their life. Okay. Somebody wrote here that they want to give Jesus everything when they get up, when they want to give thanks when they eat food, they want to give thanks when they put their clothes on their body, they want to give thanks for their house. You know, these are things that I have to tell you, we get so caught up sometimes in going through the motions of Christianity that we forget the joys of walking with Christ, and giving thanks is one of them. And studies have shown that having a thankful heart is the enemy of depression. And it's so wonder that children sometimes operate in such a state of innocence, perhaps because they maintain this heart of thankfulness, okay? And then we have here, I want to give Jesus my love. He's my Messiah. He's my God. And I want to be a doer of the word. Now, these are 8 and 10-year-olds, okay? That is excellent right there. So I want to just say a few things real quick, because we have numerous women and now men who teach in our Sunday school program, and they give up a service, some of them once a month. Sometimes they have to double up because we have the 6 o'clock service as well. And, you know, you may not see them. They may not get an award, but they are preparing and taking care of the children of the church, not just babysitting, but teaching the children the Word of God, reinforcing the principles that hopefully you're teaching at home. And none of them get paid to do that, by the way. And they do an excellent job, and I am very grateful to everybody who serves in our children's ministry. Why don't we give the women and men a hand? And why don't we give the children a hand as well, okay? So we thank some of them for coming out. And I guess, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have that shared at the beginning of the service is because there's something to be said for living life from a healthy soul. Now, let me explain that for a second. You and I, much because of our culture, we've been conditioned to think that you're at your best when you have a good outfit on. You know, you have a winning outfit, like when somebody's going to go for a presentation, they put on their best clothes. In fact, even in church life, put on your Sunday's best, whatever those are, okay, because you're going to go see God, as if God doesn't see any other day of the week, just Sunday, but whatever, okay, I'm not so sure I agree with that theology and that philosophy of life, but so be it. We think, you know what, I gotta look a certain way. How do I feel today? I don't feel down, I feel great. And we think we're at our best. That's when we're at our best, when we feel good, we're in good shape. And some of those things do contribute to having confidence. But ultimately, don't miss this. You and I are at our best when we have a healthy soul. That is the key to life, is how do I have a healthy soul? Now, in our culture today, we know about toxic environments, toxic stuff that we could put into our body, toxic environment, things that we don't want to breathe in, and all that stuff. And then there's also situations we can find ourselves in which we pollute our bodies, and that's why folks sometimes have to take advantage of a detox program. But what if we could be ahead of the curve in 2013? Instead of waiting for the roof to fall in the home or in the personal life, instead of having to get on our knees and detox once again from the toxic things that we put into our life, what if we could pre-tox our 2013? That's a new term I'm creating, by the way. I love creating my own words. And so in my laboratory here at the church, I've created a new word, pre-tox. And it's the idea of, it's right there on the top of your outline. Pre-tox is this. It's preventing toxic threats to the soul. There are toxic situations, toxic people, toxic places, toxic thoughts, like we're going to talk about today, that will contaminate your soul. And if you think that's not true, then you're living in some type of mystical bubble. We live in a toxic world. That's why the Bible says repeatedly, you know, don't fall in love with the world. Now, love the world in the sense to share your faith and care for the widow and the orphan. Nothing wrong with that. Advance the cause of the gospel. But be careful that you're not contaminated with the philosophies and things of our culture. And this has been no different. This has been the same way for thousands of years. We live in a toxic world. And sometimes, if we're not careful and if our guard is down, we let these toxic things get into our lives. And not overnight, but over time, they erode the soul. And that is why we feel the way we do. That is why our courage is sapped. That is why our confidence is eclipsed. That is why we struggle. Now, I am not one of those who subscribes to the theology that, listen, go to church, say your prayers, and eat your vitamins, and everything's going to work out in your life, and then smile into the camera. I don't believe that. I know that this is not heaven. I know that there's a place that one day, because of Christ, we will go to, a place called heaven where there's no sickness, there's no pain, no suffering. I understand that. But that's not here. This life, sadly enough, is filled with one disappointment after another. Now, I know that's not going to sell any books. I know that that statement's not going to pack any stadiums. But I need to be frank with you that we live in a toxic world that's filled with disappointments. All the more reason, as I'm talking straight with you, that we need to depend on Christ so that when we are confronted with the toxic pollution of this world, that our hope doesn't go AWOL, that we stay the course with Christ. And so, over the next few weeks, what I want to share with you is another original series here that we're doing at the church called Pre-Tox. I want to pre-tox our soul. I want to encourage you in 2013. I want this to be the best year for you spiritually that you've ever had. Ever had. in your whole life, your whole walk with God. I want you to make decisions over the next few weeks that are going to define the rest of your life. I want you to make commitments to God that you've never made before. Perhaps you were too scared. Perhaps nobody ever asked you to make this commitment to God. Forget about what you used to know, because next week's sermon is going to be toxic beliefs. You're not going to like what I'm going to say there, but many of you have come from different environments, whether it was Catholicism or Protestantism, where the theology was not lining up with who Jesus is. You may think it was. I may have thought it was, but it wasn't. And there's toxic beliefs. We have toxic tongues sometimes. We know toxic people, and the list goes on. But we need to identify what is toxic, and we need to know how to prevent it so it does not get into the soul and so that it does not control us in a way that would not be pleasing to God. And so I think one of these weeks, I know we have a few doctors in the church, so I'm going to put this out there. If I could borrow somebody's white coat next week, that'd be great. Okay, I want to borrow a white coat next week, even though I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to be doing a little diagnosis this week and over the weeks to come. And so I want to do a prognosis right now of thoughts, and I want to take you through a few scriptures this morning that will show you that it's possible for men and women, young or old, to have toxic thoughts. Look what it says in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, chapter 14, verse 2. This is what we're told in Proverbs, and this just sets the stage right here, okay? There is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to us. But its end is the way to death. What the writer is saying here is that there is a thought pattern, there is a perspective that's been adopted into the mind of mankind that he thinks he's always right, even when he's dead wrong, even when his ways diametrically oppose God, but he will rationalize it in his head that it's the right thing to do. I gotta have her, even though she's not his wife. I gotta be with him, even though it's not her husband. I got to do this because of that, and rationalizing something down the line. We've all done it in one way, shape, or form. Jesus said, listen, you've committed adultery if you've lusted in your heart. Okay? So, you know, sometimes we tend to just want to throw stones at certain people. You know, and that's the sin of the whole thing there. But the case of the matter is that there are things that seem right in our heart, and we will go down roads we shouldn't. We will have thoughts, and in the end, it could lead to the death of a marriage. It could lead to the death of a relationship. It could lead to your own death if you're not careful, if you're getting involved in habits and things you shouldn't. Again, nobody just wakes up and says, I want to trash my life. It starts out with thinking that the wrong way is the right way and having those thoughts. And those are toxic. And those will invade your soul, and you have to be careful. Okay? Again, this is pre-tox, and we want this to be a new year. Look what it says in Psalm 10, verse 4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. It is possible, now listen, it is possible to slip into a dark spot where you don't think there's a God. Yeah, even if I have faith, yeah, listen, you will never lose your salvation, but it's very possible to lose sight of your salvation. You'll never lose the gift of the cross and the empty tomb. But it's possible that you'll get a little amnesia and you'll forget what it's all about. It's possible that through circumstances that you caused or that life has brought onto your doorstep, especially debts, that you could get yourself in such a rut that your mind starts going down a slippery slope where there's no God. God don't care about me. He don't care about my family. He don't care about my situation. Forget about worship. Forget about praise. God don't care about me. There is no God. And there's a way to become very wicked in our heart, very dark. And we could have a lot of dark nights of the soul. It's very possible for those toxic thoughts to invade us. Now, if you have never put your trust in Christ before, this could become just a normality. This is something that could be a constant in your life where you feel you have no coverage, no protection, that there is no God. And then if those verses weren't convincing, how can we forget Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, when God had to bring a flood to wash the earth clean? This is what the Lord said in verse 5 of Genesis 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And notice this, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. That was the state. That's what God's commentary was of the planet pre-flood. and he needed to do a cleaning, a washing for mankind. Now, I pray that as individually, collectively, as a church, as a nation, we don't get to this spot. Last week, I opened up the message by telling you there is so much hoopla right now over the physical cliff. But what our country is feeling to realize is that we are facing a spiritual cliff. And a big reason for that is we are letting toxic things invade the soul and we're settling. The FCC has lowered the guard. The government don't care. And schools don't care. That's why it's important for you and I, forget the higher halls of learning, it's important for you and I to be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can protect our hearts and protect the hearts of the little ones that God has given us guardianship over. Even if your children are raised, you're a part of this church. You in some way have a stake in the care, spiritual welfare of children in your home, if you're a grandparent, a parent, whatever, an aunt or an uncle, a caregiver. We have a lot of toxic thoughts that exist in our life. And so here's the prognosis from Dr. Ray this morning. Toxic thoughts can make my soul sick. It can. What are some toxic thoughts as we just stem off of these verses? It's possible to be involved in a habit that is opposing to the will of God and what God's best is for your life and to rationalize it and say it's okay to do. I think we've all done that, right? Well, it's okay. The truth is, God's not going to hit you with lightning. At least I think he won't, okay? Don't quote me on that, okay? He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. And yes, grace is a free gift, but it wasn't cheap. It cost him his son, Jesus Christ. And so at some point, God is going to bring in the reins so that you and I could be humbled and so that he can draw us unto himself. And so we can be involved in a habit right now. What a great time of the year, the beginning of the year, to give over those habits that you don't need to God. You know, for you this morning, it could be a relationship that you should not be involved in. And you know that already. And you need to give that to God as well so that he could bless your life because you want to lead this next year from a healthy soul. And notice, this is not a judging place. I know what some of you may think, oh, if I go to church, they're going to rub my sins in. No, it's our job to show you how to rub them out and how God has rubbed them out, not to rub them in. That would be a waste of time. Listen, we don't need anybody to rub our sins in. We have enough people around us that remind us of how stupid we are, starting with ourselves. But it's that pride that prohibits us from dealing with these toxic thoughts. You can have toxic thoughts today of anxiety, of fear. Now, why do I say that? Are you broken because you struggle with anxiety? Everybody struggles with anxiety, I think, at some level. Some just show it differently, okay? Some just like sweat. Some people are sweating on the inside, and some people you could smell that they're sweating, okay? So everybody's anxious. People just wear it differently. No matter how calm and cool and collective you are, studies have shown that. You're not broken. You're not messed up. But those thoughts from the enemy of fear that you're not going to get through that attack or that situation, that's not of God. And we need to realize that. And anxiety may have to be something we go toe-to-toe with from the day the Lord calls us home. And thankfully, we'll be delivered from that. But you need to know as you're fighting this fight that don't believe for a second that God has forgotten you or you're messed up or any of those stupid thoughts that even some people from a pulpit try to share. You know, it's funny when it comes to struggles that we have in the mind. We condemn people for taking medicine. We condemn them for sitting on a couch and telling a pastor or a counselor their problems. And we label them as not having enough faith. But if your knee hurts or your back hurts, take all the medicine you want. And I'm a big proponent of having an equal heart when it comes to that. And knowing that, let's call a spade a spade. Any thoughts that try to sell you a lie that you are not loved by God, that you are not a child of God, is from the pits of hell. And you need to know that. You heard it here. You've been reminded today. Every thought you've had that you're a loser, anything of that nature, you need to be reminded today that that is a thought that comes from the pits of hell. And by God's grace, if it's his will, you will have to fight some of these struggles till the day the Lord calls you home. But this much you know, you're not messed up. God loves you and he wants you to fight this battle from a healthy soul. In fact, you need a healthy soul because this battle is a very tough battle. Switching gears. There could be a way that you conduct yourself that's just, you know, you're always trying to get over on people. You're a manipulator and you're good at it. And you think, well, I'm going to do, and that's just the way you operate. Well, that's how I used to be. Well, at least now I come to church, and we have so many cop-outs so many times in church. You know, so many times I get that. People will sometimes run from the church. They'll want to sit down and meet with the pastor. Want to meet with the pastor like I'm holy or something. I'm far from holy. I need the grace more, the grace of God more than anybody in the room. That's why I'm the preacher probably, okay? And I'll sit down with the pastor. And the pastor will tell them, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes people will run like the building's on fire. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear I'm great. I want to hear I'm doing the right thing. The truth is sometimes we're not doing the right thing. We're not on the right path. We need to be told that so that we can get on the path that God has for us. Not so anybody could be made to be the fool. Christ was made to be the spectacle on the cross. That's what the Bible says. He hung there for our iniquity. And let it not be in vain. Let me just make this statement before we can go on. We would be taking the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary and the empty tomb that is the proclamation of our faith. We would be taking it all in vain if we didn't come clean with God for 2013. If we didn't say, God, I want to bear my soul before you for your glory and for you to use me. And so my encouragement to you is understand that there are toxic thoughts, and I've named a few, but there's a lot more. Just like that thought to want to run over that person you don't like. That's not a good thought. To put sugar in your neighbor's gas tank that you don't like. That's not a good thought. Judging people and judging other people. Now listen. Some people put themselves in a precarious situation. It's almost like they're inviting people to talk about them. Guess what? You're not God. And you don't need to judge everybody else. That's one thing to make fun of your friends and have a good time, but you don't want to cross a line where you're injuring somebody's character. Remembering that we need God's grace just like they do. Judge not, lest ye be judged, okay? And unless you're in a position of authority to call people to accountability, we need to get those thoughts under control. We need to get those thoughts under control that we're better than anybody else because God is no respecter of persons. See, these are the things, these thoughts, these toxic thoughts, they get in the way of having a healthy life with God. And so that's the prognosis. Toxic thoughts can erode the soul. They can make the soul very unhealthy. Here's the prescription. Each week, we're going to have a prognosis, a prescription, and then another medical term called preventive care, preventive treatment. The prescription each week will be a different psalm. Because, you know, for years in my counseling, when I've talked with folks, when I know somebody's going through something, obviously you pray for them and you give them biblical reason. That's the job that you got to do. You try to give people good biblical counsel after discerning a situation. But you don't just want to say, okay, goodbye, good luck, when somebody walks out the door, okay? Read two verses and call me in the morning. You know, you don't want to say that either. You want to give, not a Band-Aid, but you want to give something that helps the soul. And if you haven't noticed yet, Psalms in the Bible is like that medicine for the soul. And a lot of times you'll find people in prison, they'll read through Psalms. Or you'll find somebody in a hospital that will read a Psalm. At a funeral, they always read a Psalm. There's something about this book that's comforting for the soul. And that opens up the door for other verses that fit into its context. And so each week we're going to prescribe a psalm. And today's psalm for the 11 o'clock and the 6 o'clock service is Psalm 139. And so if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 139. And what I'd like to do now is I'd like to read the entire psalm to you aloud, just because it's good to hear God's word that way. And then we're going to take a few of these verses for the sake of time and look at the preventative treatment so that going forward in 2013, we could have a healthy soul when it comes to our thoughts. Is that okay? If you believe that, say amen. Okay, starting in Psalm 39, verse 1, this is what David writes. David, the king, David, the man after God's own heart, and by the way, let's continue on, David, the man who fell. David, the man who fell from grace with Bathsheba. David, the man who had parental problems in his home and children problems. David, who had circumstances come his way that were unfavorable and some he created. But also David, the psalmist of God. Even though he was the greatest king Israel ever had, perhaps his greatest contribution to the things of God was that he took his harp and he sang songs, and here's one of them. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted, David says, with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it, David says. Therefore, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you were there. If I make my bed in Shiloh, which is hell, you were there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you alone, David says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. No mistake here, David says. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, and I was woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, remarkable, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak evil against you with malice intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. And then David, after he says that, how he cannot stand the enemies of God, he says, but search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. Thanks be to God for this treasure that we have in our hands again this morning. Now, Psalm 139. A few things I want to just drop in your heart about this psalm and set it up for you. This is again written by King David. For those of you new to the Bible, David is perhaps the greatest king that has ever shepherded Israel. In fact, David had a reputation. It kind of grew and grew and grew. During his days, there was another king named King Saul. And David, as you know, the great story that we teach the children, David and Goliath, David slayed Goliath. And David's popularity went through the roof. In fact, when David was picked to fight Goliath, the armor wouldn't even fit him because of his stature. King Saul, on the other hand, was something you'd see in a magazine. He was a great-looking guy in every way, shape, and form. Here's David, this little warrior, but God uses him. He defeats Goliath, who was mocking the people of God, and David becomes a great warrior for God. In fact, we're told that people started singing David's song. They were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. It was a hit song. It was all over the radio, okay? David had a reputation that was growing. And as that reputation grew, and through his, on the run from Saul and in his dark cave experiences. In fact, if you want to study that a little bit more, you can go back to last September 2011. We did a whole series on that through the life of David and the Psalms. But you look at David's life and you see his rise to power as he becomes king. We see that he had a few weaknesses, and one of them was with the ladies. God clearly told him not to multiply wives and horses. He did both. And it got him into trouble. As you know, he fell into sin with Bathsheba. After being confronted with that sin of adultery and everything that took place with that, notice the hand of God. See, everybody wants to throw everybody out if they commit a sin. That's not God. He's confronted by Nathan the prophet, his friend. He goes to his knees and he writes Psalm 51 where he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Wow. "Renew a steadfast spirit in me." Because that's what God's about. That's on God's business card. Forgiveness, restoration. If we're willing to come to him, God could pave a new road. God could even take the stupidity of our life that we did in the past and use it for his glory. That's why I have a rule of thumb. I try, in my humanness, I try not to judge anybody in a way that would be contrary to the heart of God. Because God never gives up on us. That's how he is. He loves us unconditionally. And it's so fitting that David, who would be on the run and have his own fair share of trouble, that God would use him to write this psalm. And I think this psalm speaks to us today. Because we're flooded with thoughts to go AWOL on God. We're flooded with thoughts to do the wrong thing. We're flooded with thoughts to not live for God like we should. And so I want to look at verse 1 here of Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. And we're going to pick a few verses here. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me." If you don't mind, underline the word "searched." And in the Hebrew language, it's kakar. Now, it almost sounds like this old cologne that I used to have back in the day when Z Cavaricci's were in style, okay? Maybe you remember those. Jakar. I think they still sell that one. Jakar came in a nice black bottle. Okay, it was like $1 million. Okay, but you got Jakar and you put that on, man. You felt invincible. You felt so cool when you had Jakar on. Well, this isn't Jakar. It's Kakar in Hebrew, and it means to search out, to examine, to go digging. It means a thorough investigation, and so. Oh, Lord, you have examined me. God, you have dug deep within me. God, you're not just about the surface. And it's so fitting that David would write this because we're told what it said about David in earlier in the Old Testament where it said that man looks on the outward, but God looks on what? The inward. David knew that. It's fitting that David would write this here. He knew that. That was in his heart. That was his thoughts of God. See, this is a thought flow of God. God uses mankind to write the scripture, and his message is going forth through them. But still, there's humanness in these texts, in these verses, and it's all superintended by God. It's all holy because God has made it holy, and God has spoken through his people. But, oh Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. And you notice, discern my thoughts afar off. And this is where I created another word when I studied this verse years ago. God prethinks us. He prethoughts us. Before you have a toxic thought, he knows you're going to have it. Before you have that judgment thought, he knows you're going to have it. Before you have that lustful thought, he knows you're going to have it. He understands your thoughts before you even have them. And it's no wonder. So if he's not going to hit us with lightning there, we have to understand that God wants to redeem us. He wants to bring us closer to him. But we got to roll up our sleeves here. If God knows all these things about us, this is what we need to do. This is our responsibility. Here's the preventative treatment. We have the prognosis, which is toxic thoughts can make the soul sick. We have the prescription, which is Psalm 139. Now we got to use the prescription. Here's how we use the prescription. Based on this great wisdom here that we're being told about God, that God is omniscient, that God knows it all, that we can't hide things from God. There's no shortcuts here. There's no secret entry points with God. This is what we need to do. Write this principle down. If I'm going to have thoughts that are not toxic, if I'm not going to let them get to my soul, they're going to come. But if I'm going to control them and take them captive under God, this is what I need to do. Check all points of entry into my mind. Since God knows it all, I need to make sure that I'm heavily, heavily careful when it comes to that which I watch, that which I listen to, the places that I go. Oh, I knew this was coming. They're going to break out all the rules. No rule book here. This is just wisdom. Listen, if you want to keep going down the road of toxic thoughts and those toxic thoughts spur into other thoughts and those toxic thoughts wind up controlling you over time, if that's what you want to do, listen, you got free will. If you want to sign up this morning for another rotten year, for another year of toxic thoughts, hey, listen, you can do it. Nobody's going to twist your arm. But if you want to prevent the threats to your soul and my soul, if we want to do that, we need to check all entry points this morning. We need to say, God, what am I feeding my heart? Am I feeding the flesh or am I feeding the spirit? That's a great question, isn't it? What are you going to do in 2013 to feed your spirit instead of your flesh? Jesus said it this way in Matthew 26:41. He said, for the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. The flesh is our sinfulness. We all have it. We all have old ways. You know, we're told that in Christ we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. However, we love to get cozy sometimes with the old self. Is there anybody else that likes to get cozy with the old self sometimes? Okay, I thought so. I thought so. We do. And so we need to check all entry points. We need to be a good steward of how we're living our life and guarding our life. Don't just settle for what everybody else is doing. You stand out. You be a trailblazer for God. It starts with your own heart. It starts with making sure, listen, if you want to come and sing praises to God, no matter how you sound, it matters about your soul. I guarantee you, you'll want to sing, whether it be in the quietness of your own heart or aloud. Your whole countenance will change with this very point right here. If I just become a guardian of my heart. What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? He said, blessed are the, what? The pure in what? Pure in heart, for what's the promise? For they shall see God. That's the promise. When you have a pure heart before God, you're able to see what he has for you more. But when we're living life in a way that we shouldn't, myself included, we don't see the hand of God. We get caught up in our own way. We get in God's way a lot of times. We got to check all entry points. Now write this second principle down here. Number two, create a daily Bible study and prayer plan. I already read the Bible. Let's go to the next point here. What is this, an elementary class? Slow down, okay? You should never get tired of being told to read the Bible. That's like somebody, you know, telling you that about drinking water or breathing, okay? Don't ever get tired of anybody ever telling you to drink water or breathe. And don't ever get tired of anybody telling you about prayer and the Bible. Now, what you need to know is I'm not just telling you just to read the Bible. The Bible's not a newspaper, okay? The Bible's not a horoscope, and stop wasting your time with that anyway. The Bible's not some psychic prediction or whatever. The Bible is the Word of God. It's not meant just to be read. It's been given to also for us to study it. Oh, I thought I had to go to school to study it. No, save your money. You can study it right in your own home. And so what I want to encourage you is that you say, again, toxic thoughts are all around us. But how do we apply this prescription today? You need to have a plan of action where you are studying the Bible and you are praying daily. This will help with those toxic thoughts. You know, next week we'll talk about taking every thought captive because that more has to do with beliefs as we study the context where Paul was writing. But how could you even do that? How can I even do that if we don't have a perspective of God? We get that through his word and through prayer. Prayer and studying the Bible are vital to your spiritual growth. Vital, bar none. You need this, and you need to create a plan. You need a plan of action. Again, reading is good, but that's just the beginning of it. You need to study the Bible. You might say, Ray, how in the world am I going to do that? Flip over your outline if you don't mind. I'm going to give you, for every message in this series, I'm going to give you a Bible study program, a mini one, okay? Almost like my Italian culture allowed me to get into that. This is like an antipasto, okay? This is just, I'm putting it out for you. You can go in more deeper if you want with some more texts. But each psalm that I give you, because that's a prescription, and because I have about 40 minutes here on stage each week, 40 to 50 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. No, just don't worry. However the Spirit leads, I don't have I know what the time is, but I'm not, however God ends it, but can't go into every single verse, every week, every single detail. In fact, this is the jumping point. You should every day be going into God's Word. And so a 7-day Bible study based on this. I've broke the verses down each day. So this is right in front of you with a few extra verses. And then I have some Bible study instructions. this is what you're going to do. You're going to get yourself a notebook or on your tablet or something, whatever you want to put. Don't use your hand because hopefully you're going to write more notes than that. And I don't want to be blamed for you getting sick in 5 years, okay? But Bible study instructions, here's a few questions to ask a verse. What is God doing in these verses? What is God doing here? Well, what is God doing in Psalm 139? David is proclaiming that God is all-knowing, that God's presence is everywhere. And not God's presence is in everything. Some would love that to be the case, but that's not the case. And that God is all-powerful. And so you start looking at these verses. What is God doing here? Well, God is searching David, or God cares for David. You write that down. Write your thoughts down. Then select a word in the verse that sticks out to you. That's exactly what I did today. I chose the word searched, and then I researched it in the Hebrew language so I could share it with you. I got like a C minus or C plus in Hebrew, so I have to go use tools to get into it a little bit more. I did better in Greek. Hebrew was very hard when I went to school. But you don't have to get all deep into that. You could just take what we share with you here on Sunday and select that word and go deeper into it and maybe come up with synonyms for it or something of that nature. And then in your own words, write out the promise that you can claim in your life with these verses. You write it out. What is God promising to you? Well, God, you're always going to be with me. Sometimes you need to be reminded of that. And maybe it's a little more deeper. Everybody's different. That's the beauty of it. Make it your own personal Bible study. Write out a short sentence that you can remember. If we can remember verses from songs that are ridiculous, that are not eternal, if we can remember codes to a coupon when we go to the mall, if we can remember all these things that are nonsense, we can certainly come up with a sentence and memorize that sentence about God's word and something. You know, whenever I get a little stressed out or some anxious moments come, I took Psalm 23, and I always remember the Lord is my shepherd. Look how simple that is. A little quick breath prayer to throw out there. As you study God's word, you'll unearth more principles that mean something to you personally. And you will see, this is how the Spirit works. A lot of times people, talk about the Spirit of God means you got to act like a fool. No, no, no. The Spirit of God works on the inside of the heart. And as you open yourself up to God's word, as you're studying it, the Spirit of God's going to reveal things to you that you need for that moment, for that day, for that problem, for that situation. It's dynamic. Again, this is not the newspaper. This is not a book you check out of the library. And then you're going to meditate on what you find. Whatever you're studying, meditate on it through the day. In fact, we do this already. It's called worry. We worry about something, right? A problem, and we worry about it. Well, that's negative meditation. You know, what's my life going to become? Am I going to pass this test? Am I going to do this? And we worry all the time. We are meditating. We're just meditating on the wrong thing. That's why we're told to meditate on the things of God, to meditate on His Word, and then choose a verse to memorize. Pick a verse in what you're going to learn this week and choose to memorize it and put it in your heart. Now, am I saying that you're never going to have any toxic thoughts again? No. In fact, you might get more, but you're going to be able to prevent them from getting to your soul and ruining you in 2013 because you're going to be on a plan. Each week, I will break down a psalm for you so you can have this plan to go. Now, look what it says in Psalm 139, verse 17. David says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." You need to know something. God has promises, David is saying, in other words, for you and for me. But how can we ever know them if all we ever do is just kind of gloss over the Word of God? If we kind of just settle for just Sunday morning or Sunday evening, depending on when you come to church. If you get into the Bible and you study it, you'll get to know some of these amazing thoughts that God has about you. And forget about just some positive thought for the day. You know, I read things all the time from some of these folks that they love their blogs and they love their books that they write. But that stuff doesn't work on Monday morning. That doesn't help you when you're in the valley. Believe in yourself. There is an energy deep within, and if you can harness it. I've looked deep within me, and I got scared. That's what happened. I looked deep within, and I realized what a fool I am. So don't look deep within. And then don't try to analyze yourself. As I told you last week, sometimes we suffer from the paralysis of analysis. And that's getting away from depending on God. You know, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things through me who strengthens me." And so it's important that we know that God, David is God, you have enormous thoughts about me. And I want to find out what those thoughts are. And that should be your case. If you want to help your thoughts, find out what God's thoughts are. And then what's going to happen over time is God's thoughts are going to become your thoughts. And if God's thoughts become your thoughts, you're going to be able to fight the things that are going on in your life a little bit more. And whatever toxic thoughts that have previously controlled you, you're going to be preventing them. You're going to be pre-toxing your heart and your soul. And you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be fit for the battle now. It's going to be a new day in your life. It's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new focus. It's not just going to be a new year with new resolutions that end by the middle of January. These are going to become convictions of the heart. Now, for all of this to kind of flow, we need to do this last principle. And so write this down. Very necessary. Confess. I say, I don't need to confess. I never robbed the bank. And I, you know. Slow down. Confession is something you need to do daily. Write this down. Confess daily to relieve controlling thoughts. And you need to confess because you know why? It builds up. And if you don't take care of it, it just builds up even more. In fact, I got something to illustrate that for you today. I got a collection notice, okay, from Easy Pass. Okay, how many of you have Easy Pass? Okay, let me tell you something. Do not make sure your tag is up to date or whatever, or go through slow, because a $2 toll will become a $52 toll. Okay, so that's what happened here. They sent this to our old address. Now, we moved 3 years ago, and so they sent this, so we didn't know about it. Okay, and it, you know, finally it finally came with the sticker on it to our house, and it says on it, seriously past due. And in case I missed that one, seriously past due, in case I had trouble reading the first one. You know, and they love, you know, collection agencies love to make you feel like a loser, you know. You know, sometimes you talk, a couple of years ago, something happened like this where they had a bill for an old American Express card going to my folks' house, and I'd long been since married and whatnot, and the guy called me up. The guy was basically threatening my, you know, my existence over the phone, and the old Ray came out, and I said, I bet you're about 4'5", and you think like who you are. I said, I'm going to come make my payment in person to you. How about that? How you like that payment? You know, and I just started losing, okay? He was getting my nerves. He was threatening, and we're going to take this, and we're going to take that. Yeah, I mean, the guy was like ridiculous. They think like who they are, a little bit of power. I almost pictured this guy who's on a booster seat, who's about 50 years old, and he's like 4 feet tall or something like that, threatening me over the phone. And anyways, I'm sorry about that. I haven't received therapy yet for that. But here it is, past due, and it says, considering the pace of today's world, it's easy to understand how one could misplace or forget to pay a bill. It's easy to happen. However, ignoring a debt like this, is inexcusable. And it's unacceptable. You've received several notices regarding the deficiency of this account. And our firm has been engaged to ensure that this balance of $52.65 is collected. And they say a few more pleasantries about how basically I'm irresponsible. Now, I call up Easy Pass because I tried to call these people up, and you're on hold for a day. You know, it's ridiculous. I said, let me just call Easy Pass New Jersey up. So I get them on the phone, and we start talking. I said, I just have one question for you because I know this has been moved on to collections. How much was the toll? And she said, $2.65. So it's now 50. So it's a $50 administration fee. And some of you know how it works. You got to write a little note in and they take it away or something like that. But now it's been past the collection, so who knows if they'll do that. And so I called up collections. I finally got through. And when collections feels bad for you, you know your debt is kind of crazy. So the lady on the phone sympathized with me. And she says, listen, I'm going to tell you, write this manager's name down. Send this in. And she goes, we think it's ridiculous that they charge so much penalty on a $2 toll. That's ridiculous. And you have the people they're hiring saying that. Now, why am I telling you about this? Because sin is like this. The amount of debt and compound guilt interest that comes upon even the smallest of infractions, the smallest of sins, is overwhelming. And if you don't confess them, if you don't take care of them, and if they become seriously, seriously overdue, it could become a very big problem for you. God still loves you, but it could become a big problem with your soul with God. And it's going to open the door for you to be susceptible to other toxic thoughts of sin. He's mentioning sin in church. What kind of church is this? A good one. Because if you don't talk about the biggest problem we have on this earth and talk about it in church, we're actually going to talk about it. Sin plagues us. And this is why David said this as we close. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me. There's our word again. Dig deep. Search, examine me, David says. Because David just got finished. What did we read earlier when we read this whole entire psalm? David just got saying after he, you know, basically proclaimed how great God is. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. Where can I flee from your presence? The whole bit. Gives us the whole bowl of wax. Whole bowl of cherries. He then says, how I hate those who hate you, God. It's like, God, I have a perfect hatred towards those who oppose you because of how good you are. And so we do that sometimes. Oh, I can't believe this one and that one. Look what that one says. And then while David is on his rant, he then is brought back to the place where he needs to be, which is humility. And saying, God, you know what, God, before I go about hating them, I got to look at me. And you got to look at me. Search me, God. Search me, O God, and know my what? My heart. Not know my Sunday's best. Not know all the good things I did. Oh, here I am, King David, look at me. Look at me, look at me, bless me. That's what we're taught today. Bless me, bless me. Look at me, look at me. David says, know my heart, God. Try me, God. And know my what? My thoughts. God, know my toxic thoughts of hatred. God, know my thoughts of sin. God, know my thoughts of anxiety. God, know it all, God. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any, what an interesting word here, grievous way in me. We're told that we need to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because if we grieve the Holy Spirit, then what happens? We clinch the Holy Spirit. If you want to have a healthy soul, you need to be in your Bible. You need to be praying so that the Spirit could be flowing through you. You know, how do you be blessed? How do you live a blessed life? How does God's blessing rest upon you? Well, as you allow yourself to walk step in step with God, His Spirit rests upon your life. He anoints you with His Spirit, and He enables you to go forth. Because you're not grieving who He is, because He loves you like a parent. You know, when a child does something foolish, it grieves the parent's heart. We don't want to grieve God's heart. God, see if there be any grievous way. And this phrase right here, way, you'll remember way back when we started this message, we read Proverbs 14:2, and it's the same phrase in the Greek and the Hebrew language here when it said there is a way that seems right to a man. It's the same understanding. And so see if there would be any way in me that I think is right that isn't right, God. Any thought pattern, God, any way, any perspective that I have, any attitude that I have, God, see if there's any way that's opposed to you, and then, God, lead me in a new way, in a way of the everlasting. Because isn't that what it's all about, friends? What did the Apostle Paul say in Colossians 3? He said, set your minds on things above. We're told in the writer of Hebrews that consider him, set your focus on the author and the perfecter of our faith. We're constantly reminded when it comes to our thoughts to have the same attitude of Christ. And if we're going to do that, we got to be led in the way of the everlasting. We got to have heaven in mind and know that we're just passing through and set our affections and our thoughts to home, to heaven. And to live for the glory of God and confess daily. And who do we confess to? Dr. Phil? Go in the bathroom and sit on the toilet and put our hands on our head and go, I can't believe I did this again. What do? We go to Jesus. We go to Jesus. You know, it says this of Jesus, that there is only one mediator between. This is in your study this week. There's only one mediator between man and God. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. You know what we're told by the Apostle John at the end of his life at around 90 years of age? He says, we have this advocate with the Father. We have this advocate with the Father. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, you know it well, he said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the separation that we don't have to feel because of him. God, for the first time ever, was separated from his Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God judging the sins of the world on Christ so that we could have a mediator. And by faith, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and sin is forgiven. Eternal life is granted if we believe that Christ is God's Son, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead. That's how you have salvation. How you maintain a walk with God is you have a daily confession. You don't need to reconfess all your sins, but you need to stay current with God so that it's not building up, so that you're not bombarded with the weight of your sin. And when you do this, when you check all entry points and you make sure you're living for God, and when you have a plan that you're studying God's word and you're praying daily and you're confessing daily, guess what's going to happen? Your thoughts are going to be healthy. And in the process, your soul is going to be healthy. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray to close out the message. I'm going to read through the announcements very quickly and pray for our offering. When the worship team stands to sing the closing song, that's not the seventh inning stretch or the ninth inning and it's time to run out to the parking lot. That's a very important time for you to show reverence to God for another 3 minutes and give your heart to God. And if you need to, we will have our pastoral care team up here up front, and they are here to pray with you if you need to be prayed with today. If you need to open your heart to Christ for the very first time, or maybe you need to just share with somebody, today I'm giving this up. Let one of these prayer pastoral counselors know so that they could be praying for you. And the worship team will lead us in that closing song of dedication. But let's pray now. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. And we thank you that you love us unconditionally. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit desires to fill us afresh. But Lord, clean out the vessels of our heart, the vessels of our soul. We confess to you the toxic thoughts that we've been given to. Toxic thoughts of lust, of greed, of judgment. Toxic thoughts of disillusionment. Toxic beliefs as well, God, of who you are and what you're capable of. Lord, we surrender ourselves before you today. We raise the banner of our heart, the flag of our heart. We sing to you, our King, with a voice of solidarity today and ask for you to clean out our heart. Scrub it clean. We want to live from a healthy soul. We ask for the strength that only comes from your throne to do so. And Lord, we want this to be a year like no other. This way, God, when we face hardships and difficulties, we're able to run the race. We're able to fight the good fight. Clean our thoughts, God. Let us have a mind like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us take to heart what it says in Philippians. Let this mind in Christ also be in you. We submit our hearts over to you today. And we confess our needs before you. And we sow these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.